It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. We are back after quite a hiatus, and what better way to break a hiatus than go into an entirely new and fresh direction, something we haven't done often on this podcast, which is talk about women's football, except for probably World Cup years and all that, which is something that needs course correcting. And to help us do that course correcting, we have a very, very special guest joining us on this episode, the first one of this new season. We have with us Radha Gupta, a women's sports advocate and the founder of She Talks Ball, a very popular podcast. Radha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolute pleasure to have you here, Radha. And let's start with a little bit about you and where you come from and how you happened to become a women's sports advocate or what exactly does that entail?
Yeah, so I think very simply, I've been an athlete since a very young age, and having this affinity to sport, I would also end up watching a lot of sports, reading about the events that were happening in the papers the next day, and so on and so forth. And as I got older, obviously watching the athletes on social media and, you know, following scores and things like that. And I very quickly realized that there's a big disparity when it comes to coverage between men's sports and women's sports. And I had grown up watching men's sports, playing with boys everywhere, and watching, you know, male commentators, male pundits. And I mean, it was just amazing that was the normal for me. I didn't even expect anything different. And I didn't even realize that, hey, like, people who look like me and speak like me aren't even, like, you know, showcased on such a high level. So very, like, you know, it's crazy that it took me like 18 years of my life to realize that this exists. And, you know, there are people like me playing at World Cups and stuff like that. And so I instantly realized that, look, there's definitely a market for women's sports, because there are people like me and a lot of such people who are wanting to talk about women's sports, wanting to cover, wanting to watch, but we really, you know, don't have too much of coverage in that department. So in college, when there was lockdown, I had a lot of time on my hands. So I started She Talks Ball, which I like to describe as a platform that covers women's sports, and it does it by three C's: increasing content, coverage, and conversation. So it's, you know, as simple as putting out a tweet, or as elaborate as recording a podcast or making a video. But the idea is to generate conversations around women's sports so that people are more aware, and the next time a match is happening or an event takes place, there are more eyeballs on that game. And I think that's basically a little bit about me. I'm a avid athlete, and I'm also a very, very big sports enthusiast.
Okay, fantastic. So as you're talking about She Talks Ball, where obviously you cover a lot more than just football, you cover a lot of other sports as well. And also well known is your affinity to Chelsea Football Club, which we'll probably come back to in a moment. But you brought out an interesting point about there being more coverage and conversations, which would probably lead to more eyeballs on the action, which right now faces multiple obstacles, especially when it comes to the women's game, because often it's not even covered. It's hard to find coverage, which is one obstacle. But more importantly, even if that's there, there are not enough conversations happening. So in your view, how do we address this sort of slight chicken and egg situation that kind of pervades women's sport, especially among the male audience, in terms of people not willing to give it a chance because of preconceived notions? I mean, we'll not get into deconstructing all of those, but how does one break that cycle, if I may?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. It's one that, you know, if we find a concrete answer to, a lot of our problems will get solved. Essentially, what I see it as is the men's sports universe is on one side and the women's is on the other side. And the men are maybe 50, 60 years ahead of the women. And this is because of laws that were passed, you know, the way importance given to one over the other. So in present day, the fact is that we have the men's sports universe that has been cared for and invested in for a lot longer, and it's giving us X amount of returns. And the women are not giving us the same X amount of returns, but everyone watching both these universes is expecting similar returns. What they don't understand is that the investment hasn't been equal. So it's very difficult to get a similar output when the input has been such a disparity within the input. So once we're aware of that, then it becomes very easy to understand that, hey, look, you spent 20 years putting money, time, energy into men's football, and now you're getting, you know, massive returns in the Premier League, and the World Cup is, you know, selling out and XYZ. If you do the same for the women in some amount of time, 20 years, 15 years, you'll get similar results. Now, people are like, oh my God, how can we get results? How will we know? Just, you know, that's what an investment is, right? It's not a transaction. You're not buying something and, you know, getting the product immediately. It's an investment where you put stuff in, you nurture it, and it grows. And you, you know, you believe that this is something worth investing in. And then it grows and gives you an output later. And I think women's sports has made a case for itself that it is a product, it is a business worth investing in. And I think simply how you can break out of that chicken egg situation is to understand, once the knowledge is there in people's heads, then they know that, hey, listen, investment has now boomed in women's sports in the last 2 years. We can expect returns, we can expect girls pouring into academies, and those girls growing up and playing on senior teams. But of course, that'll take 7 to 10 years. It won't be, you know, overnight. So I think once you understand that concept, then you have an affinity to talk about women's sports, to support it, to grow it and be part of this wave or this movement that's taking place where the boom of women's sports is on the brink. And so, yeah, I think simply how to resolve or address that chicken and egg situation is to make people aware. And that's what I try to do with She Talks Ball, and what a lot of other women's sports platforms try to do is that, hey, there is a case for women's sports. There is a business case for women's sports. Once you realize that, once you get on board, you know, that's how we can move forward.
All right. So yeah, that's what I was about to actually ask, and you've kind of preemptively answered that question, which is that the efforts that you are making towards getting those conversations going and the interest going also adds up. Which brings me to my next point, which is that a lot of people tend to sort of come at this in the sense that they haven't followed, let's say, a lot of women's sport or are not very aware. And that kind of becomes a sort of a mental obstacle to get into it. So would there be any, let's say, approaches you would recommend or you've personally found would say, hey, if you want to get started with following women's sports or talking about them or football in particular, since we are on a football podcast, is there any approach you would recommend or suggest?
Yeah, one would be, if you follow a male team, just follow the female counterpart. I assume if you're a Chelsea fan, you're a fan of Chelsea men, Chelsea women, Chelsea mm-hmm. youth, and there's no real, you know, discrimination there. In that sense, please, if you follow the Chelsea men, you know, the season. So again, this summer is such a good opportunity to understand and to grow, because you can start following them from the first match day of the new season when it comes in August. So yeah, one avenue would be, if you follow a men's team, start following the women's counterpart. Another avenue would be, if you just are a neutral and want to get into it as in a general space and find the team that you like, maybe follow an international tournament. And, you know, there's no better time than in a couple of weeks' time, where the Women's Euros takes place. It's said to be the biggest festival that the women's football competition has ever been. And so you'll probably find someone you really enjoy watching from that competition, or maybe a team that you're, you know, drawn to. And you can then follow those players back to their clubs and follow their club journey in the coming season. So I think the simplest avenue is, look, if you follow men, follow the women as well. Otherwise, talk to people, talk to your friends, explore a lot of football, watch some of the Euros to understand, hey, look, this is the kind of football I like watching. Maybe I'll start watching the league in England, or maybe I'll start following the league in Spain. And I think it just builds from there.
Okay, fantastic. So, and that gives us a great segue to talk a little bit about the tournament that you mentioned, which is the Euros. I think it's one of the biggest tournaments. Obviously, in terms of an international tournament, it has grown quite a bit, the women's version. And I think we have 16 teams participating this year.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible.
So if you could give us a quick 2-3 minute preview of what you could expect, maybe teams to watch out for, or your personal favorite players to watch out for, which could, again, like we were talking just a while ago, give that entry point for somebody who wants to get into this.
So it is fascinating because this Euros that is coming up, it's going to be the most competitive by a huge mile. When I keep thinking about who's going to win, or I hear podcasts or read analysis pieces on this tournament, it's just absolute mayhem. So, I mean, out of the 16 teams, let me give you a fair idea. Germany is the most dominant. If you look at historically, they've got the most Euros, you know, with them. Norway has won a couple as well. Netherlands are the defending champions. They have that golden age. At least they had that in 2017, and they, you know, move past everyone to get the title. So they're going to be, wanting to defend that. So watch out for Netherlands. Germany, as I mentioned, are just football machines in men and in women's.
Yeah,
I think the women have had a really, really dominant run. So yeah, definitely watch out for Germany. Sweden is the Olympic silver medalist. They lost in the Olympic finals to Canada.
Yeah.
So Sweden is, again, a dominant team that's in peak form, which would be worth watching. Of course, England are the hosts. And, you know, with hosts comes the 90,000 packed stadium vibrating to "Come on, England," and other chants. So you can expect them to have a great home advantage. And of course, they have peaked in terms of women's friendly results, and the WSL, which is the domestic season in England, has, you know, is filled with stars. So the English team is really primed to, and very capable to, snatch the trophy on home soil, which would be, again, an incredible feat, because the England men's team is really struggling to do that at the minute. So that would be really cool for the nation as a whole. Of course, Spain is got a spine that is the Barcelona team that have, you know, won a Champions League and made it to a final again the following year. So you can expect Alexia Putellas, Ballon d'Or winner, and all the Spanish names to link up very well and maybe cause a few upsets. So definitely watch out for Spain as well. And so, you know, the list goes on. Norway is a team that I am supporting. It's a very underdog sort of team, but it's got a few Chelsea players such as Guro Reiten and Maren Mjelde that I really, really like. And the return of Ada Hegerberg, again, yeah. Ballon d'Or winner Ada Hegerberg, who has come back to the national team after a long 5 years. Interesting that she has not been to the national team for 5 years was because she had boycotted the federation because they weren't providing equal compensation and equal facilities. So, you know, the last tournament she played was the 2017 Euros, and she's making a comeback for the 2022 Euros. Of course, this time with the nation, with the national team receiving equal compensation and benefits. So again, you know, it's not easy for an international athlete to sacrifice 5 years of their career, of their international playing career. She missed the World Cup as well for a big statement like this. But that's the kind of universe the women's sports world is in right now, where we have to make these big moves to make, you know, leaps and bounds, sort of move leaps and bounds forward in equality and in the standings where women's sports is. So yeah, Ada Hegerberg, I predict, at least in my mind, is going to get the golden boot. So someone to watch out for in Norway. And yeah, I think that's probably the top tier. France is one that, you know, have had kind of dicey selections. They've left out quite a few players, but the ones on the team as well are world class. So they could, on their day, beat any team that I've already mentioned. And so, yeah, I mean, I would suggest probably watching the opening day match, England versus Austria. It's at the Old Trafford, sold out, 90,000 crowd. So, yeah, it's going to be incredible. And the timings are a little bit annoying for Indians, but yeah, we're used to it. We watch the Premier League, we watch the Champions League, so it's fine. We'll manage.
Right. So I think we are going to be Scandinavian rivals in the tournament, because Sweden is the team I might be looking out for.
Of course.
So Apex Sweden is in the women's arena, in the international arena mostly. Sweden is the team I have probably followed with any regularity. But
sweet.
Obviously, I'm aware of the other team. So you just mentioned about half a dozen teams who have probably a realistic shot at the title, and half a dozen teams out of 16 makes it very intriguing and interesting. Coming back rather to your own personal choices, like you said, we'll come back to Chelsea Football Club. So just wanted to take our listeners through your journey with Chelsea, how it began and how it's been going, because any guest we have on this podcast, we generally spend a bit of time talking about the club that they follow and how it came to be.
It's very interesting because I am the only person that I know who first started following the Chelsea women and then decided, okay, let me also follow the men now, which is something that it's not too common. So, I mean, I think in 2016-17, we were really starved for women's sports or women's football for that matter. And so I would end up watching every match. I would watch the Arsenal team, I would watch Chelsea and the Man City and X, Y, and Z, whatever I could get my hands on. But there was one match in 2017. It was a Champions League quarterfinal, if I'm not wrong. And I was watching Chelsea versus PSG, and they had this incredible last-minute comeback goal to beat them on aggregate goals. Like, you know, it's everything you could have asked for. And I just instantly sort of decided, oh my God, this is my team.
Chelsea delivery. And Mielder! Aguero Mielder! That's not the goal that Chelsea needed.
Like, I was, the way I was rooting for them and the way I was drawn to them, I wasn't to anybody else. And of course, since then, I've been following them in the various leagues that they've been a part of. So that's how I started with Chelsea. Then after She Talks Ball came into the picture, I started making a few videos and reaction videos. And it would be mostly Chelsea because I would end up watching those matches. And then Chelsea sort of reached out, did a fan story with me, and then realized that they proposed the sort of collaboration that could happen, and they said, you know, let's do a few videos and see how it goes. And luckily enough, fortunately, She Talks Chelsea, which is the series of episodes that we've done, was a success. A lot of people enjoyed watching it. We even managed to get 5-6 players from the Chelsea team to come on for the interview, maybe 10 or 12 minutes. So yeah, it's been experimental, but really fruitful and rewarding first season of She Talks Chelsea. That's how the collaboration started. And hopefully people listening will see She Talks Chelsea back next season, if all goes to plan. And
okay, fantastic. So it's been a fascinating journey, and we all have that story about the team we fell in love with because of one performance that we watched. And I'm glad that it was the Chelsea women's team that you're watching. So we are almost out of time on this, Radha, but thank you so much for your time today, and thank you so much for taking us through this. This world of women's sport, which is a portal waiting to be opened for so many people, and hopefully some of the listeners here will do that. And one thing I find fascinating about women's sport in general, and that could be me just talking anecdotally, is that there are just so many stories within women's sport. Every single one of the players, every single team has stories, like you mentioned about Ada and Norway. These are equivalents that you will not really find in the men's sport, because quite simply there is a richer and much more complex let's say environment and world that they have to navigate, which probably makes it even more fascinating.
Yeah, very well put. That's exactly what it is.
All right. So we hope to discover more of these stories as we go on. And once again, thank you for joining us. Just a quick note to the listeners, you can find Radha on @SheTalksBall on Twitter. Is that the right handle, Radha?
Yes, it is. Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Okay, so Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, She Talks Ball. Please go give her a follow, listen in to the episodes, and tune in as she, I'm sure, will be covering quite a lot of the Euros, which I am looking forward to as well.
Yeah, hopefully that happens. I'm very excited.
All right. Thank you so much, Radha. And that's about all the time we have for this episode. Be sure to join us for the next one, where we continue. And hopefully this season, the theme being that we explore these new diverse competitions and bring in these fresher perspectives. And thank you for helping us kick that off, Radha.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.